Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 529. Science Faction, your weekly corona update. The numbers are as follows for today, December 27th, 2020. Worldwide infected, 81 million. U.S. infected, 19.5 million. Worldwide dead, 1.77 million. U.S. dead, 341,000. We're going to touch on some of the numbers we've been talking about recently, including active U.S. infections, 7.7 million. That is a crazy high number. Next highest up is around 2 million, and then after that, it's like a couple hundred thousand. So U.S. certainly has a tremendous amount of current cases going on, way more than any other place. Serious cases, we have 28.6 thousand, which is also way higher than just about everybody else, and it kind of shows you exactly how bad this is in the United States versus the rest of the world right now. Our daily dead numbers here in the U.S. are over 3,000 per day, which is crazy. Again, more than 9/11 every day. And our daily infected is up above 225,000 per day. Also super crazy. Now, slight possible side note, it looks like as of recording this today, the 27th, it looks like we might actually be seeing a slight plateauing, maybe even a decrease of those numbers, possibly due to nationwide lockdowns and the precautions people are taking and, you know, the education that we have out there for about this. So there is a possibility that for the first time in a long time, I'll actually start being able to report lower numbers in terms of daily stats in the United States. And I look forward to that greatly. All right, on to the articles. This week, we are really just focusing on one main topic. It was the topic that, unfortunately, I could not focus on last week because I basically finished editing and posted last week's Corona update like 30 minutes before news broke about the UK variant B117. I hate it. I don't know if this is like the same thing that was happening with the vaccines when I would report on one of the phase 3 vaccine trials and then within 12 hours a new vaccine trial would come out. I don't know if it's that kind of thing. It's just bad luck. But regardless, this is the biggest story in COVID right now, and so it's the one we should focus on. So what is this UK variant you've probably been hearing about? Officially given the name B117, this is a SARS-CoV-2 variant that has a significant amount of mutations, 23 to be exact. We expect 2 to 3 mutations in a standard strain difference, meaning it collects these mutations and now we have a new strain, we call it something else. This B117, 23 changes. And what makes it very scary is these changes appear to make this virus 70% more infectious. We still don't know if that means an increased mortality, and we have reason to suspect it might not. But if it's 70% more infectious, then just by the fact that more people will get the disease, it means there will have more people die from it. So to that extent, whether or not the virus itself is actually more likely to cause any individual given person to die more likely or not, it is going to kill more people because it will infect more people than the standard strain would in the same situation. So those 23 mutations have been shown to cause 17 amino acid changes in the virus's protein. 8 of those changes are really important to that spike protein we keep talking about, the thing that actually binds to human cells, the ACE2 cells, and infects us the way that the virus gets into our body. There are 3 of those 8 changes that we think are really significant. So the first one is called 6970-del, and that leads to a loss of 2 particular amino acids in the spike protein. And previous investigations into this, because we've actually seen this same mutation erupt elsewhere, have shown that just this one mutation in lab settings seems to make the virus twice as infectious. The second mutation of note is the N501Y mutation. And we think this one changes how tightly that spike protein can bind to our own ACE2 cells. That's important because the tighter it can bind, the more likely it is to then infect that cell before it gets shoved off or taken out by an immune system body or something like that. So however tightly it can bind can affect how infectious it is. And the last important one is P681H. And this seems to alter the area where the spike protein itself has to be kind of cleaved in half in order to enter human cells. It might make that more efficient. So out of those 23 mutations with those 17 amino acid changes, we are seeing some very significant changes. So one question might be, how the fuck did this happen? How did we get 23 mutations in a viral strain that usually only gets 2 to 3 mutations at most? And we think we have the answer. We think it's likely from an immunocompromised patient. The reason we think that is previous research into SARS-CoV-2 immunocompromised patients that happened over the summer showed that these people will battle this infection for months and months and months because their immune system is so compromised it can't clear it. When that happens, that particular virus has a long time to mutate because it's in one given person, so it has the ability to mutate because it is in there for so long. And number two, because it doesn't have a strong immune system to kind of fight against it at all times, it will tend to have more mutations. Because even if a mutation is slightly deleterious, it won't get wiped out as easily because it's not fighting an intact immune system. So because of that, it can have multiple mutations, and then those mutations can survive to the point where future mutations can happen. Current studies on B.1.1.7 do not seem to show that the strain itself is any more likely to mutate than the standard strain. So what we're thinking is the standard strain went through some situation in which it is more likely to mutate. And right now, the thing that looks the most likely is that is an immunocompromised person. Some of these mutations, by the way, share some things in common with a completely independent strain that mutated all on its own in South Africa, or at least we see it in South Africa, including the N501Y mutation we talked about, which, you know, can determine how tightly the spike protein can bind to our cells. That particular mutation is actually seen, that exact same one is seen in a particular strain in South Africa that has essentially taken over all of South Africa. It's knocked out the other strains because it is now the most infectious one. We don't have any indication that these are related anyway. It's just convergent evolution. It looks like this mutation makes this thing so much more successful that it is likely to emerge in multiple places. And in the case of what we're seeing with B.1.1.7, it might be one of those perfect storms where we got a few of those put together. Some other slightly concerning things is that at least one of the sites that are altered by these mutations is one of the 3 PCR binding sites for the test we're currently using, which means it may affect the false negative ratio. We may not be able to detect this particular strain as easily. So far, we are obviously still able to detect it, otherwise we wouldn't know it existed, but it might be that we have a higher false negative with these. We're still not sure yet. Right now, much of Britain is essentially put on quarantine by the rest of the world who aren't letting them in. They close the tunnel into the continent, and a lot of the countries on the continent will no longer accept travelers from the UK. It's almost getting like 28 days later-ish over there in a really scary way. But this might have come out of nowhere in terms of us noticing it, but it didn't come out of nowhere in terms of us just suddenly discovering the strain. The strain was actually discovered on September 21st in Kent, but it was just one of many strains, and we hadn't done enough, you know, research on it to realize that it had so many mutations, you know, and was more infectious, et cetera, et cetera. What basically happened is the UK has a really good tracing program where they're tracing not only who has COVID, but which strains. And they suddenly saw this strain, which was non-existent, you know, before, pop up all of a sudden at the end of September, and then very quickly, essentially take over. It is now the most common variant in the UK, and it's responsible for 50% of new cases, which is amazing considering the other thing had a 9-month head start. You know, think how much more infectious this has to be in order to spread that quickly. And that is what alerted officials. That's what got them to do more serious analysis and start looking at the actual genetic structure of this particular variant and discovering those 23 mutational differences. Right now, we still don't know how the new vaccines, both the Pfizer and the Moderna, as well as the other ones that are coming out, will be impacted by this. You know, it does change the spike protein, which is what we are gearing those vaccines to attack. Will it change it enough so that they won't recognize it? That is probably not likely, because again, those spike proteins still have to be functional enough to interact with our own cells, and theoretically, that is what we are gearing it towards. But there is a world where it is possible that this will make the vaccines less effective, or the vaccines will be less effective against it, so to speak. And despite that big lockdown in the UK right before Christmas, that doesn't mean it's stuck there. In fact, we now know that it is in France, it is in Spain, it is in Denmark, Italy, Sweden, Iceland, and even as far as Singapore, Japan, and Australia. It may well be in the US. We are just not testing people to that degree. We're not testing which variant of the virus enough to be able to tell whether or not that is the case, but it likely will be here as well, given that it has been poking around in England since at least the 21st of September. Pretty unlikely that nobody made it over with that during that time. So pretty scary stuff just because it's more infectious. Again, doesn't mean that it's necessarily more deadly per capita, per individual who has it. But if more people have it, then it is more deadly overall because more people will get infected and get sick. Don't know if the vaccines will have a differential effect on it. We don't know necessarily if it's actually deadlier. We don't know what's going to happen with this in terms of the larger COVID story, but it is certainly the most interesting chapter going on right now. I really hope all of you people over there in the UK, if you're listening to this, I wish you the best of luck. I really, really hope that you're able to stay safe and stay away from this, because if we are seeing that this is 70% more infectious, let's talk about what that means. It means that before, if you, let's say, were walking by somebody outside and got exposed to viral load X, which was under the amount that your immune system could handle before you actually got infected, well, now that viral load X that you were able to walk by without getting infected may very well infect you. And so everybody, please be double diligent about masks, about being indoors with other people and social distancing, and hopefully we can get this all out. We rolled out something like 10 to 15 million doses of the Pfizer vaccine here in the US just in the past week or so. There's some similar numbers coming out of England. So we are, I hate to say this, but we are in some ways in the final stretch of this. The final stretch has begun with the administration of those vaccines. So if we can just hold out, if we can do a good enough job of staving this off for a little bit, hopefully within the next 5 to 6 months, this world can go back to normal. And when it does, not only will I not have to do these Corona update shows anymore, but we can actually go out and do some live stuff, which hopefully I can see you guys at, because goddamn, I miss being around people. All right. Thank you so much for joining me this week on this short but important coronavirus update to talk all about B117, where it came from, why it's different, why it's a little scary, and why hopefully it will go away along with its big brother once this vaccine gets rolled out. Thank you so much for joining me, and come on back later this week for Science Faction 530.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.